from the WSBT studios in Mishawaka, Indiana. It is the Roster Doctors. I am Jim Irizarry. That is Craig the Bartender Williams.
Yes, indeed. And this is episode 3 of the Roster Doctors. This is also the one where we preview wide receivers. Yes, indeed. Getting you ready for your fantasy draft that should be taking place this week.
Yeah, this is prime draft season. I've already had a draft.
See, I just found out what pick I have in my first draft on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
How many drafts you got to go?
Just a couple.
Okay.
The one that we're in, yeah. You and I, and then of course the old timers league that I've been in forever.
Okay. I guess that's 3 actually, because we're in the league here at Midwest Family Broadcasting.
Oh,
as well.
See, that's it. Oh, we got to wait. We got to bring in the third part. Point of this whole thing,
right,
of Roster Doctors. He is the one and only on the phone from Philly, Tony Cotillo, the Godfather. What's going on, Tony?
What is up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Draft season is in the air, my friend, and I know that the topic that we're going to be talking about today is right in your wheelhouse. I know you love the receivers.
Oh, yeah. Zero running back theory for me, buddy. Zero running back.
I like that. Now, before we get into the wide receivers and give the preview, we are in the state of Indiana, and we do know that there was a big shock that happened on Saturday during the preseason game between the Bears and the Colts down in Indianapolis.
Oh, man.
Andrew Luck, well, actually this came out via Twitter from Mr. Schefter.
Yeah.
That Andrew Luck was retiring due to injury and the toll of rehabbing of such injuries over the past few years. It's so many ways to go with this, so many ways to think about, you know, Andrew Luck. I mean, hanging it up, really in what should have been the prime of his career. He's a comeback. He's a reigning comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it, Tony, I think you agree, if you don't have it in your heart to play, don't be out there, because it's not going to get any easier.
No, I completely agree. Listen, the mental aspect of the game sometimes is more important than the physical aspect. And when, you know, your mind's telling you, you know, no, and your body's telling you no, then you know it's time to go. I think, you know, obviously everything's, you know, been made highlighted from the crowd reaction and the boos he got coming off the field, and you know the idiots on Twitter that want to burn his jerseys and stuff like that. I mean, I hate to say this, I kind of understand some of the frustration of the fans, because it is 2 weeks before the season, a season where, you know, they were, you know, picked to do big things in the playoffs, and now they're left with Jacoby Brissett, who I really don't know much about, you know, for the simple fact that he hasn't been that good, whether he was been in New England or whether he's been in Indianapolis. But, you know, there's a human element to everything, and I understand that. But I think that the biggest thing, not to get long-winded, but Doug Gottlieb came out and he got a lot of heat for the tweet he wrote. He got a lot of heat from Aikman. He got a lot of heat from highly credentialed celebrities about it. And he basically he gave it like a millennial theory. And I don't know about you, but, I understood the premise behind it, because the millennial era is – basically where people give up a little early and, you know, they're catered to all their lives. Right. But I don't think that was the situation with Andrew Luck. I really don't. I just think, you know, he came back so hard from a shoulder injury. And then I think this is thrown through a loop that he was like, I busted my butt for so long and I have to do it all over again. And I wouldn't be surprised if you were that, though. I think this is a quick decision that he'll regret in a year or two. And then he'll come back with the New England Patriots and be Tom Brady's back. Heir apparent.
The optics of it was just so bad, too.
Because that's what happens now with everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely.
The optics of it was just bad. Man. Because his people were going to have a press conference the next day, and then Schefter put it out there. And really, Andrew Luck out there on the sidelines got completely thrown under the bus.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was the most painful thing to watch out of all of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously he doesn't have his phone on the sideline.
No.
Because he can't. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, he watching him, and I was watching the Bears side of that broadcast.
Right.
They had both of them on, you know, here in South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one station had the Colts version, other station had the Bears. I was watching the Bears version, and, you know, the news comes down and they're just watching him, and I think at one point Jim Miller even said he doesn't even know that this news is broken.
No, another thing of this is that the fan perspective I get, because if you're in the fourth quarter, if you're sitting in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, you are either a diehard or those are the only tickets that you're going to get to be able to bring your kids. Yeah. There are a lot of Bears fans in the stands there that travel down. But this is a seven-year relationship, okay? Just take the football aspect out of it. But you've been a seven-year relationship with someone, and you've seen their ups and their downs. You've seen them come back, and all of a sudden everything you feel is great. And then you get the Dear John letter. And that's really what that tweet was that Adam Schefter put out. That is a Dear John letter in the middle of a game where fans didn't know what their instant reaction was when they're sitting at stands. I mean, I literally got it from you when you actually on Roster Docs WSBT. Mm-hmm. When you tweeted out, that's how I found out.
Yeah.
And I know how I felt instantly. I mean, not a Colts fan, but just like, wow.
Holy cow. Yeah.
That just happened.
Yeah.
So imagine those fans that had paid to see. I mean, they knew Andrew Luck wasn't going to play in that game, but they go to see the Colts, their favorite team, and that got thrown out there. It was a really bad situation and the hard way to break up a seven-year, eight-year relationship.
Yeah. My thing is, I'm not surprised by what happened as far as after the game with the booing.
Right.
Because I've seen Indianapolis Colts fans boo Reggie Wayne after he signed with the Patriots.
True.
Now, let's keep in mind something. You know, I mean, sure, the Patriots are the Colts' arch rival, very one-sided arch rivalry, but Reggie Wayne signs with the Patriots, but this is after the Colts cut him.
Yeah.
It's not like he went there,
no.
You know, when the Colts offered him more money and a better contract or anything. No, the Colts cut him.
He was done.
He was done, too. And after, he didn't last long with the Patriots.
He didn't even make it to a game.
Yeah.
He was there basically a week.
And
he went to the drive-thru window at the Patriots restaurant.
Yeah.
And got an order of fries, and that was it. Didn't he go?
That was it.
He didn't even pull up the second window.
Yeah. Yeah. He
he was gone.
You know, gave you know, the dollar to Coach Belichick, and that was it.
That was it. He didn't even pull up the second window to get the fries. He just paid for the fries. That's it.
Right.
This is the Roster Doctors. Oh, you can listen to us. This is the wide receiver preview. We're going to get all into the wide receivers. You can also follow us on Twitter at Roster Docs WSBT. And guys, let's jump right in. Let's start. The wide receiver position, there's a lot of depth in this position, but you need to be, we need to be aware of how your scoring is in the league. Especially at wide receivers. If you're in a PPR league, it's very important. It may be your most important position overall. And Tony says it right. TDs are a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
PPR leagues, you want to get guys that are highly targeted. Getting touchdowns is a luxury. It's not something you should count on from week to week to week. But you do want to have guys that are getting high targets each and every week, or high volume of targets each and every week. Don't reach. We've said this so many times, but especially with wide receivers, do not reach. Let some other guy do it. Know your value.
Let some other guy become the joke of your league.
That's right. And Tony, here's the other thing I'm sure you agree with me with. Availability. You want to have guys that are on the field a certain percentage of the time so that they can have the potential to be big-time players for you during fantasy.
No doubt. That's, health is one of the biggest important factors of anything. You know, you always look at guys that, you know, Julio Jones used to be that guy. Keenan Allen is kind of that guy who's been hurt very often over the last three or four seasons. So you always look at that aspect and think, you know, is this guy injury prone? Is it going to happen again? But then you also look at things where you say availability, like a guy like A.J. Green this year. You know, a guy that's been slipping in drafts, obviously, because he has the ankle injury and he had the surgery and this and that. So they really don't know when he's going to be available. You know, but if you can get a guy like A.J. Green, you know, in the eighth round, who's going to play 10 games, I think it's a steal. So, you know, but you know, who knows what can happen. But I think that's one of the guys you could really target later in the mid rounds of the draft and get him on a pretty good price.
Now, as you listen to the previews, as we go through some of these guys, I am going to give you a lot of times the percentage of offensive plays that these guys were in, because that's key as you go, as you talk about this availability yep. thing. It is very key that as you're drafting, you're looking at guys that are on the field for a high percentage of offensive plays as you look and see who you're going to be drafting. Because, again, the more they're on the field, the more likely that they are to contribute for you in fantasy football from week to week. And we start with the guy that you just mentioned, and that's Julio Jones. 113 receptions last year, 1,677 yards, just 8 touchdowns. He was in on 83% of the total Falcon offensive plays and was targeted 28% of those plays, 32% in the end zone. Now, again, he only had 8 touchdowns. He didn't even have a touchdown through the first 7 games of last year, but he's only gotten double-digit touchdowns just 1 time in his entire career, but he's arguably one of the most productive receivers in fantasy history. Is that right, Joe?
Absolutely. I had him on my team, my big money league anyway. And yeah, like every week he was good for at least 15 points PPR just because of the number of touches that he got and the number of yards that he had.
Yeah.
So, love Julio Jones.
No doubt. Another guy you should love is DeAndre Hopkins, because it doesn't matter who's throwing him the football. He is a beast regardless. And Deshaun Watson, of course, loves him to a career-high 115 receptions last year for 1,572 yards and 11 touchdowns. 100% of the snaps on offense he was in on last year,
yeah,
either as a decoy or out on the field being productive. Again, availability every single play. 33% target share, 44% in the end zone. Again, a guy that they target in the end zone and all over the field, and he's in there every play. And Tony, you agree with this. No plays off is huge when you're looking at these guys. He's there every single down.
Yeah, he's the best, hands down, the best wide receiver in football. Hands down. Move over Antonio Brown. But I will tell you this, how crazy this is, but actually, and I know we're going to probably talk about him next, but, you know, he wasn't the most consistent week-to-week fantasy wide receiver performer last year. It was actually Devontae Adams. But what I can say, he had the highest career average at 98-plus yards per game.
Yeah.
This guy was a monster. Just like Jim said, you knew you were getting that 15 to 20 points a game, even if he didn't score that luxury touchdown. Hey, this guy was amazing. He really was. And he played – one thing, he played all the games last year. He played 16 games, and he was dinged up for at least 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah, he was.
That he played through and was spectacular. So he is going to definitely have another – fantastic season for the Ducks.
There were some of those plays too that he played in where he got lit up,
yeah,
and still popped up. That was one of those seasons that even though it wasn't talked about all the time,
yeah,
that was one of those seasons that you just sit there in awe of.
Oh yeah. Because as we talked about a couple shows ago with Watson and the numbers, I mean, if there wasn't a Mahomes, we'd be talking about Deshaun Watson's season that he had.
Yeah.
It was just fascinating with the rushing yards and everything else. But it goes right into – he was throwing to Hopkins because you never knew from week to week who the other wide receiver was on the opposite
right.
side of the field.
And then that was just it. Like, DeAndre Hopkins was getting double-teamed and still putting up these kind of numbers.
No doubt. And since Tony did bring him up, he is next on my list, Tony. I know you're cheating on my list, but you're right. Devontae Adams had one heck of a breakout season. Again, not a lot of consistency on the Packers' offense last season, but he was one of the most consistent players in all of fantasy football. 111 receptions, 1,386 yards, 13 touchdowns. He was in on 98% of their total offensive plays, a target share of 28%, and 39% in the end zone. So when they got close, there was one guy that Aaron Rodgers was looking for first. because he didn't trust the other guys, for one thing, because they were all young. Geronimo Allison and all these other guys that we're talking about, Equanimous St. Brown, he didn't know those guys.
Right.
But he knew Devontae, yeah, and he knew to throw it up to his big receiver because he was coming down with it more times than not.
And since he basically elevated himself into favorite receiver status for Aaron Rodgers, inheriting that throne from Jordy Nelson, he's got a death grip on that throne right now.
Now, Tony, I got to ask you, though, how much do you expect this to change, or how much does the dynamic change of bringing in Matt LaFleur as the head coach and, of course, Aaron not being able to audible the way he has in the past?
I love the Matt LaFleur experiment. I do. And I think I've said this before. Aaron Rodgers is my number one fantasy quarterback this year. And Devontae Adams is going to follow right behind him. I think this year he is going to settle in. He's not going to have the Mike McCarthy in his ear. He's not going to have the issues that they had on the sideline, the personality clashes, the culture clashes. I think this is a huge year for Devontae Adams. I mean, it's hard to eclipse the 111 and 1,386. It's hard to do that. Antonio Brown did it year after year. It's hard to do that. But this kid's 26 years old. There's no more Randall Cobb. Right. Aaron Jones, who we talked about in the running back show, is a prime talent for another breakout year. I mean, this is going to be a year. Listen to the Green Bay Packer receivers over the years, right?
Right.
You know, when you had Greg Jennings, Donald Driver. You know, these guys were always there,
mm-hmm,
you know, in Green Bay. And, I think this is going to just be another one. Even Javon Walker had some big years in Green Bay as a receiver outside, right? So, yeah, Devontae is special.
A Javon Walker sighting, by the way.
Yeah.
Javon Walker.
He ended his career with the Raiders, and it ended real quick, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Another guy's got some, he got some new paper, and he's happy, and we expect big things of him. That's Michael Thomas. The Saints wide receiver had 125 receptions, 1,405 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns in on 90% of the offensive snaps, target share 29%. Even when he was covered, Drew Brees was throwing him the football, because 23 times he was targeted in contested throws, and he caught 74% of those passes. So Brees trusts him even when he's covered, and that speaks to the quan that the old man Brees has with Michael Thomas. And again, wide receivers are a little bit of prima donna. So when we say new paper, we say it in a good way, because happy receivers are receivers with new contracts generally.
Yeah. Most of the time,
unless,
yes.
Unless you're T.O., you're doing push-ups in your drive.
That's right. That's right. Another guy's got a lot of talk. I know you know and love him, Jim, but he's on a new team. He's not on yours anymore, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. Missed 4 games last season. Still had 77 receptions, 1,052 yards, 6 touchdowns. Here's a question mark. He's missed 21 games in 5 seasons. Buyer aware. Within that, he's still third in receiving touchdowns with 44 over that 5-year span. TDs are a luxury. Listen to what Tony says. Yeah. The Godfather is right. TDs are a luxury, but you cannot sneeze at 44 in 5 years. But again, new team, new offense, new quarterback, Jim.
He might have the highest ceiling out of any receiver in football this year, just because it's been a while since he's had that full season.
And been a while since he had a quarterback that actually get him the ball down the field and did it at a high rate. As we went through the quarterback numbers a couple weeks ago. He loves throwing downfield, Baker Mayfield.
He's got a quarterback with an arm.
Yes.
Not a noodle arm either. This is a high-powered machine gun right here.
This could be a lot of fun or a disaster, Tony.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do. I think this is going to be another 2016 year. We're talking 101 receptions for 1,367 yards, mm-hmm, and I think he'll even eclipse that number. I really do. I think he's going to turn into a top 3 performance this year in fantasy. I think big things for Baker Mayfield, big things from the team in Cleveland. I'm high on him. I know a lot of people aren't. They, you know, maybe Kitchens isn't the guy, but I think Baker's special. I think, you know, Odell will be reborn, rejuvenated out there, and I think sky's the limit, because when he's healthy, and Jim will probably attest this, when he is healthy, he is probably the best playmaking wide receiver in football. So if that's the case, if he is healthy, You will see that a lot more in Cleveland this year, and it will help your fantasy team immensely.
He is the cultural icon of wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally. I mean, everybody wants to have that sort of game, that sort of style on the field.
Yep.
You know, where they're making the crazy one-handed catch and all that. Mm-hmm. And he can make those catches without the gloves.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
I don't think people give him enough credit for how strong he is as well.
That's true.
We're talking about a guy like DeAndre taking hits, right? They were talking about Devontae taking a hit. But this Odell, he could do that quick square and route right across the middle with those big linebackers. Mm-hmm. He could take the hit and go 85 yards for a touchdown. He could do what DeSean Jackson does with his size, with, you know, compared to what Odell could do with his muscular stature. So I think he's a very, very special athlete. And if he could just stay healthy, which I think he will this year, it's going to be fun to watch.
We are listening to the Roster Doctors. Of course, you can check us out on Twitter at Roster Docs WSBT. And that, for me, is the cutoff for our Tier 1 of wide receivers. Tier 2, as we begin that, it's interesting. There's somebody missing from our Tier 1, which should be in Tier 1, and that's Antonio Brown. Here's where we start Tier 2 at, because 1,297 yards, 15 touchdowns in 2018 should put you in Tier 1. The fact that he's on pace to break Jerry Rice's records, if he stays healthy for a very long period of time, should put him in that Tier 1. But he's on a new team because he couldn't stand being with Big Ben Roethlisberger anymore. He's out in Oakland. He was in on 97% of the offensive plays for the Steelers last year. But with all the craziness that's happened since he got his new paper, got his new team, I think it knocks him down a notch because we just don't know with Helmet Gate and everything else which Antonio Brown is going to be in that black and silver.
Is it going to be old helmet with a blonde mustache? Is it going to be old helmet with... Anyway, that was a bad joke. Sorry.
I got you.
That's where he lost me, by the way. That's where Antonio Brown completely lost me, as like,
oh, man.
As like, maybe he's not all there mentally, the blonde mustache.
Not many receivers are. Wide receivers are the divas of football. We all know that.
Right.
We know, and there's a reason why Hard Knocks is in Oakland this year. We all know that, so they can follow Antonio Brown, right? But two things I'll say real fast. Four straight years as the top scoring wideout in standard leagues, which are dinosaur leagues to me. So if you're a top receiver, scoring receiver in a dinosaur league, just imagine what he did in PPR leagues. I mean, he's on fire. The one thing that scares everybody, though, everybody doesn't realize, as much as he hated Ben Roethlisberger, you know, Antonio Brown used to ad-lib routes. Antonio Brown used to run off routes.
Right.
Antonio Brown made up his own routes, and Ben adopted to him.
Yeah.
So is Derek Carr going to be able to do the same thing? I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. To be continued.
So that's impossible.
Yeah, we'll find out this season. Now, the guy that replaces him as the number one in Pittsburgh is the second one of our tier two quarterbacks. That's Juju Smith-Schuster. 1,426 yards, 7 TDs. He goes from being the number two to the number one for Big Ben. He was in on 88% of the offensive snaps for the Steelers in just his second season, up from 75% 2 years ago, his rookie year. He was targeted 21% of the time for end zone plays, but that number should go up, guys, as he gets adjusted to his new role as the number one. There is no Antonio Brown in this locker room either to bicker at and complain that Juju was the Offensive Player of the Year for the Steelers, as voted on by his teammates.
You mean those extra touches aren't going to go to Vance McDonald?
They could, but probably not that many.
This is true. Hey, listen, you know, but one of the biggest things that is missing from the offense is the coverage that he's not going to receive because of Antonio Brown. So that's, you know, listen, back in the day when one of their Pittsburgh receivers would leave, like a Plaxico Burress, there was a Hines Ward and Antoine Winderell. There was those guys that were there to pick up that slack. There's really not that guy now in Pittsburgh. So Juju's going to face double coverage a lot. He's going to face an over-the-top safety. He's going to face all of that. And can he rise to the top and face adversity as a number one? We shall see.
Here's a guy that does it quietly. He's been doing it quietly for a couple of years down in Tampa. That's Mike Evans. Despite the quarterback situation last year, where they shuffled in and out guys between Winston. Of course, Winston was suspended at the beginning of the year.
Fitzmagic.
Yes, Fitzmagic was hot for the first couple weeks of the season.
And then he put on DeSean Jackson's clothes and was never the same.
Man, but Mike Evans still was steady. I mean, to the point of 86 receptions, 1,524 yards, 8 touchdowns, 17.7 yards per catch on the field for 91% of the plays. Again, we keep hitting on this availability, guys. Availability, how often are they out there? Because they can't put you up any fantasy points if he's only out, if he's not out there that much. 32% of the end zone targets, that's huge as well. And he is going to love his new head coach, Bruce Arians, because everywhere Bruce has gone, wide receivers and quarterbacks have put up huge numbers.
He could be our new generation Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know, so that's my ceiling.
Big things, man. Big thing. I agree with you. I mean, the odd thing is how talented Mike Evans is. Now, granted, 6 years, he's only 25 years old, and you did. He had a quarterback carousel all his years. He's never topped 100 catches in any of his five seasons.
Wow.
To take a word from one of my favorite celebrities of all time, Dwayne Johnson, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I guarantee he is going to get 100 catches plus this year.
God, I hope.
This is a match made in heaven for Bruce Arians and Mike Evans. And again, regardless of who's throwing the – I mean, it is a contract year for Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got that inspiration,
yes,
too.
Indeed. We move on to our next guy. We kind of mentioned he could be in a little bit of mourning. He lost his best friend, literally, on the field.
Yeah, right.
That's T.Y. Hilton. 76 receptions, 1,270 yards, 6 touchdowns. He played hurt a lot last year, but he still put up some pretty decent numbers. But he's going to be missing Andrew Luck. Jacoby Brissett takes over for the Colts at quarterback. I had to look back a couple years to when Jacoby Brissett, who literally had no training camp with the Colts a couple years ago,
right,
and got ushered in to be the starter because of the situation with Andrew Luck's injury. T.Y. still had 57 receptions, 966 yards, just 4 touchdowns in 2017. His numbers may dip a little bit from where he was last season. But this is a much improved team, guys, than that 2017 version of the Colts, which had no offensive line, no running game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a completely different team that T.Y. Hilton is on. But what can we realistically expect with them trying to piece this all together?
And also, if we can just kind of update, you know, like the quarterback situation there.
Yeah.
I think Jacoby Brissett was like 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, so wasn't terrible.
Right.
He wasn't a terrible quarterback for that bad, bad, bad Colts team.
They just didn't have any.
They had nothing, besides T.Y. Hilton. They had nothing.
That's it.
So I don't think the drop off is going to be, going down the Grand Canyon.
And 76 receptions is not out of the reach for a number one receiver. Actually, that's pretty.
Not.
I mean, again, as we mentioned,
that's even on the low side.
Yeah, because he was banged up mostly last year too.
Yeah, so I think he's gonna be there for Brissett at the very least. He's gonna be the guy.
I actually think his numbers go up a little bit. I do, and the reason why I think they go up because I think Andrew Luck relied so much on the tight end, so much on Eric Ebron and Dak Doyle. So take some of those targets that those two guys aren't going to get with Jacoby Brissett and add them to T.Y. Hilton and Devin Funchess, and those numbers go up. So I think this is actually a positive for fantasy owners when it comes to T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, could be interesting. Wow. We're going to have to watch. Well, of course, we're in Indiana. We're going to have to follow this throughout the season and see how it goes.
We have no choice.
No doubt. We move on to another guy that's in our second tier, Tyreek Hill. Led the NFL in yards per touch last season, and also had 1,630 yards from the line of scrimmage, 15 touchdowns, 12 of them receiving, 1 rushing. I'm sorry, 14. 1 rushing and 1 on the return side.
Let's not forget that special teams money either.
Yeah. But you can't really rely on that, though.
You can't.
Unless you're in a league where you get double points or something like that.
It's a nice little bonus.
It is.
It's a nice bonus. So,
but again, as the Godfather has led the way, yeah, touchdowns are a luxury.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are.
You can't rely on them.
Tired, I'm telling you.
But again, it's a contract year for Tyreek Hill. That's big. Mm-hmm. And he's also got one of the strongest arms in the league throwing him the football week in and week out in Patrick Mahomes. Another guy you mentioned earlier, we finally can get to him as you round out tier two there, Tony, and that's Keenan Allen. This guy had a question mark, an injury question mark for a couple of years, but maybe people aren't aware of this, but they should be. He has played in all 16 games the last two seasons. 97 receptions last year, 1,196 yards, 6 touchdowns, targeted 18% of end zone plays. We want to see that go up a little bit more. But he was 13th overall in fantasy scoring at the wide receiver position. You can take the red cross off of Keenan Allen. Again, he played in all 16 games the last 2 years, guys, and he is a productive fantasy player week in and week out.
You got to pay attention to him, too, though, because, you know, the doubtful red cross did show up a couple of times, right, and then he still played.
Yeah.
So you gotta pay attention with him all the way up to kickoff.
Yeah.
That's my word of warning. So
the only problem with that is
everybody has their players. I know you guys have these players, right? You have the players, right, that have kind of boned you year after year that you say, I'm not going to draft that guy. And for me, it was always Keenan Allen because I don't speak of the 32 straight. I speak of the 23 games he missed in 2015 and 16 combined.
Right.
They're the ones where he screwed my team. So, you know, unfortunately, Keenan Allen will never be a part of the Godfather's team. And, I wish him nothing but success, but I'm not taking that chance. But he is a talented wide receiver, plays with old man Rivers, who distributes the ball handsomely out there. He did catch 102 balls in 2017 and 97 last year, and he'll probably catch over 100 this year if he stays healthy. It's just a pride thing for me, that's all.
And here's the other thing. Because he plays on the West Coast so much, so you sweat it out to see if he's going to play or not. Now, he has played in all those games, but you sweat it out as to whether he's really going to take the field. Because when you're watching the 1 o'clock starts and the pregame shows and everything else, and he's listed as questionable, well, it's a bigger question when it gets around 3:30 to see if he's actually warming up on the field.
When you get into the witching hour and Scott Hansen goes through the list of the injury report and Keenan Allen might still be there. Ah!
Yeah, yeah. We move on to our tier three, guys. This is how you round out your team in the middle rounds. We start with a guy that had a really interesting season. He kind of became an afterthought in Oakland. And then he got traded in the middle of the season, Amari Cooper did, to the Cowboys. He played 11 games for the Cowboys with Dak Prescott last season. And he was quite productive. 66 catches, 896 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 11 games in Big D.
If you want to extrapolate that out, by the way, that equals 94 balls, 1288 for yardage. If he had played the full season.
He was in the top 6 of fantasy points for wide receivers from week 9 through week 17. He has 3,000-yard seasons at only 25 years of age. And the 1 year where he didn't go over 1,000 yards, that's because he broke his foot in week 3 and hobbled around the whole rest of the season.
Right.
So Amari Cooper, by the way, contract year.
Hey! This is becoming a recurring theme.
Because we have to note that when we're talking about the prima donnas.
Absolutely.
Contract year, and they're having high expectations. We'll see. We move on to another guy who got some new paper. He doesn't need to want he didn't need to want it anymore. He's got it, and that's Brandon Cooks. 80 receptions, 1,204 yards, 5 TDs in 2018. Was in on 96% of the offensive plays for the Rams last year and targeted 22% of the time. But he's not a huge red zone threat, I should say. 13%, just 13% of the targets in the end zone. But he's consistent. Say what you will about Brandon Cooks, he leads a very consistent wide receiving core for the Rams, who expected another good season out of him and that offense.
He's averaged about 10 points per game the last four seasons.
He's consistent.
In PPR.
That's what you want, though, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what you want.
When you put him in your lineup after you draft him, you don't worry about checking him out for the bye week.
Yeah. That's why I drafted him in my draft on Sunday. I was like, that's an easy 10 points right there.
No doubt. Bing! No doubt.
Brandon Cooks doesn't excite me at all.
No?
No.
He doesn't excite me either, but I get I see 10 points and I go, hey, there's 10 points.
What? Like I'm trying to sell Tony a car. What can I do
what can
to
we
get
do
you
to
excited,
get you
Tony, about Brandon Cooks?
He needs to catch more balls.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, he's averaging 5.7 yards per catch over the last 3 years. He's not a flashy guy. I mean, he doesn't have Drew Brees throwing the ball anymore, going for 80-yard touchdowns. I mean, that's what we always thought of Brandon Cooks. The yards are there, but the catches are down. So, to me, he's not a great fantasy performer because he doesn't give you that PPR mystique to where he's consistently getting, you know, that 8 catches for 80 to 100 yards. He's getting more like 5 for 60. Now he is almost touchdown dependent now. So he goes against everything I say about it being a luxury, where he's more dependent on that 6 in order to bump up his score. So he just doesn't impress me. And Cooper Kupp comes back this year too, so that's going to take away some of his targets out there as well.
I've heard that Cooper Kupp's looking pretty good this year too.
We'll see. We'll
Cooper Kupp is a stud.
We'll get to him.
We'll get to him. Julian Edelman's next up though, guys. Played 12 games last year, 74 receptions, 850 yards, 6 touchdowns. He was in on 88% of the snaps when he was healthy and out there. 45% of them he was in the slot position. No Gronk this year. We're hit on the other guy later on that just came back. But he did have only one game below 10 points in fantasy this year. But is he kind of in that Brandon Cooks mold for you, Tony? You talked about how he's not necessarily touchdown dependent, Julian Edelman is, but he kind of is in that same mold that you were talking about, though, right?
I think he's a little different. I mean, you're talking about, so you're looking at a guy, you take out 2017, and I really kind of take out last year as well. I mean, he played 12 games last year, and even half the games he played in, he was nicked up, so he wasn't really the same guy. He had that early suspension, and, you know, he coming off an ACL, he just wasn't the same guy. I really think that you can go back to the 2016 year where we're talking 98 catches for 1,106 yards. He's a guy that's going to consistently get you that 8 for 80 every week. Technically, last year, James White got those numbers instead of Edelman because he was so slowed back coming back from the injury. So I think that kind of parlays back to Julian Edelman this year. And if you're Tom Brady's favorite target going across the middle, hey, that's golden in fantasy football. So I love Julian Edelman.
The reigning Super Bowl MVP.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that's all you need to say.
Yeah,
that's
once it got to the playoffs, oh look, there's Julian Edelman.
Basically, if you're a Patriot and you miss the first four games, you're gonna have a great season after that.
Yeah. That's a month off. That's a month off.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it a couple of different times where key members of the Patriots have missed the first four games and they want to have a career season. So we'll see what happens. We move on to a guy that I love. I love me some Adam Thielen. It's unfortunate that he plays for a rival of the Bears and the Minnesota Vikings. But the guy just produces. 113 receptions, 1,373 yards, 9 touchdowns last season. He had 100 yards receiving in the first 8 games of last year. So if you had him, you loved him. Loved him at the beginning of the year. He's been a top 10 fantasy wide receiver the last 2 years and was in on, again, availability, 100% of snaps.
Contract year?
I don't know. I'm usually pretty good about finding that out, but I don't know with Adam Thielen. But you're going to love him. And Minnesota will be stupid to let him walk.
I'm going to look this up right now.
Along that, let's talk about his partner. His partner's right next for me on the list. Stephon Diggs, 102 receptions, 1,021 yards, 9 touchdowns, playing a career-high 15 games. Availability. Finally, this guy made it to 15. Would he ever get the Sweet 16? I don't know. But he played in 15 of the 16 and was 11th in fantasy points in fantasy points, averaging 17.6 points per game.
Update.
On the field, 93% of the offensive snaps. Go ahead.
Adam Thielen got that paper in April.
Oh, so
yeah, four-year, $64 million contract extension, $35 million of that guaranteed.
A far cry from the $500. Remember the slap in the face they talked about?
Yeah,
he got offered a $500 scholarship because the coach thought he was gonna walk away, and then he stayed for the $500. I mean, he's got that paper.
He walked away with $35 million right off the bat.
Hey, he earned it. He earned it.
Absolutely.
Guys,
their biggest question mark is Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah.
That's their biggest question mark. Yeah. Kirk going to be able to sling a ball. But they're essentially, the Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara of the wide receiver group. I mean, you're talking about two guys that 100 plus catches, technically Pro Bowl seasons, and you can probably have either one of them as your number two or number one fantasy wide receiver in your lineup. So it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do.
This guy comes with a question mark for me because of the situation that's going on in Seattle with limited options now, and that's Tyler Lockett. Just 57 catches last year, 965 yards, 10 touchdowns, wasn't on 90% of the offensive snaps, just a 17% target share, though. And now Doug Baldwin is gone. So now you got two undersized wide receivers starting for Russell Wilson. Now, we know Russell Wilson can sling the football, but that's asking a lot of a kid like Tyler Lockett to now become the number one option in that offense out there, guys.
It really is.
I think he
especially a run-first offense, right?
Yeah.
I think they need a bigger number one, like just size-wise. They need not even a bigger number one.
DK,
just
right?
Yeah.
They drafted DK Metcalf.
That's right, to be that guy.
We don't know. We don't know if that's really he hurt his knee. He's getting a little cleanup, so he's not going to be ready for game one. But, yeah, you're right. They need a bigger presence out there. Who knows if that's the guy or not.
Yeah, you can't go out there with a bunch of midgets.
Yeah, especially
you can't.
With a midget behind the offensive line.
That and the offensive line isn't that good.
No.
So, a lot of question marks.
There's a lot of running. There's a lot of passing on the run with Russell Wilson now.
Mm-hmm. Here's a guy that's
amazing.
What's that?
That's amazing. Now, you're talking about the offensive line. It's amazing to me that they do not have, even an adequate offensive line. That's what happened to Aaron Rodgers for years. You have a franchise quarterback and you don't protect them. I don't understand the concept. I really don't.
I don't get that either. I don't get why a general manager thinks, my biggest investment. Let him run for his life.
Well, here's the problem with that.
It killed Andrew Luck.
But here's the problem with that, though. The difference is when they were going to Super Bowls, they decided to pay all the old guys on defense.
Yeah.
So there wasn't enough money. You can only spread it so thin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you're cutting all these guys, or they're retiring, and now you're freeing up that money. Yes, you should be putting an offensive line in there, but they still got a lot of dead cap money that's still being paid for guys that aren't even in their uniform anymore. That's the problem.
Nah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
We move on because there's another guy. This guy came onto the field a couple of years ago as a rookie, and he caught, I think, three touchdown passes right in his first game. Kenny Galladay had a follow-up season in which he only had 70 receptions, but 1,063 yards, five touchdowns. He's a big receiver in a 91% of snaps. Okay, we keep talking about availability. We're trying to help you guys out as you look at these numbers. 35% of end zone targets. So he will be an end zone target. And he plays the dome a lot.
Yeah.
At least eight home games. That's for dang sure. Yeah. And a game in Minnesota. So he's a big target. And a career high 15% of contested situations. 55% of the 18 balls were contested balls. So he goes up and he grabs it because he's a big dude, 6'4", 6'5". Kenny Galladay is going to have another good season, another guy you should be looking at in your middle rounds.
Plus, who else does Matt Stafford have? Who else does he have?
I agree. You're right. And you know what? They're a bad team. They're going to be playing from behind.
Yep.
So they're going to be slinging the ball a lot. Right. And I asked this question last week to a lot of people on Twitter out there, and I got a lot of good answers. That you give me what player can win you a fantasy football championship.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is a player after round three, a player in the Kenny Galladay is that guy. Kenny Galladay it could be overall a top eight receiver when it's all said and done this year, and he's getting drafted in the third and fourth round. So I think he is going to be a steal in these drafts. I'm in love with Kenny Galladay. I got, you know, a man crush Fuller for fans of football. I'm not afraid to say it. And I think he is going to be exceptional this year for the Detroit Lions.
It is the Roster Doctors from WSBTRadio.com. I'm Jim. He's Craig. Tony Cotillo on the phone as well. And this is the wide receiver preview being brought to you by Availability.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Another guy that was available for most of the season last year and actually started out pretty hot. That's Calvin Ridley. He's the guy on the opposite side of the field of our number one receiver that we talked about in Julio Jones. 64 catches, 821 yards, 10 receptions. Ten touchdowns, six in his first four games, guys. And then he hit the proverbial rookie wall. He did. And if you owned him, you could feel it as you had to start him or even decide if you're going to start him near the end of the season. He passed the 50-yard reception mark just three times in the last 12 games. He hit the rookie wall hard. Now, we don't expect it to happen in a second year, but he's a guy, again, that he could be really productive for you on a more consistent basis throughout this year. He won't just be that early flash in the pan and kind of taper off. We expect good things and big things from Calvin Ridley going into a second year in that Atlanta offense.
Plus, once again, no Steve Sarkisian.
That's right.
Hey!
Yep. You're absolutely right. Thirteen dome games. We talked about this before. 13 dome games for Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, he has that advantage. I mean, this is setting up, boys, to be exactly what we just talked about earlier with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. I mean, you could have two 100-plus yard receivers in Atlanta this year with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. So I think Calvin Ridley is an exceptional talent. Reason why he was a 26th overall pick in the draft. And last year you seen flashes. This year I think it'll be more consistent.
By the way, as far as Falcons go, go pick up their kicker.
Yeah, because he's going to be kicking indoors.
He's going to be 13 times.
DJ Moore is our next wide receiver, another sophomore. 960 yards from scrimmage, 172 of them rushing last season, but only two touchdowns. We need more from him this season. Not necessarily touchdowns, because they're a luxury.
Right.
But we need to see more from DJ Moore in year two because he's going to have some added responsibility for that Carolina offense.
That's like a campaign slogan right there.
Yes, we need more.
See more with DJ Moore.
That's right. We move on to one of Tony's guys. He's an Eagle, former Bear, and the guy that predicted actually his last season with the Bears that he was going to the Super Bowl, and he did. In his first season with the Eagles a couple years ago, Alshon Jeffrey had 65 receptions, 843 yards, six touchdowns in a 93% of the offensive snaps, 33% of the end zone targets. And I'm just going to leave this to the Godfather. What do you think about Alshon this season, buddy?
There is a lot. There needs to be a lot of balls go around in the Philadelphia offense this year, even though, you know, there's some rumors right now, hot rumors right now, that maybe one of the receivers could be on the move, you know, in a Davion Clowney package. So we'll see what happens. But as of right now, that team is stacked on the receiver end and the tight end end.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard for Alshon Jeffrey, for a fantasy perspective, to get any more than 70, you know, that 75 catch range. I think he's more like a 68 catches for maybe 900 yards and eight touchdowns. I think that's more what you could expect from Alshon. But that doesn't mean he's not a talented receiver.
Right.
But again, we're talking fantasy, not NFL. So for fantasy purposes, maybe a wide receiver two, borderline three. But at NFL, he's an accessible talent.
To round out our tier three guys, and then we'll have an interesting 2-minute warning we'll get to in just a minute. But Jim, I'm going to talk about this last receiver in our tier three, and that's Jarvis Landry. 81 receptions, 976 yards, four touchdowns. Now playing opposite Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep.
Now, Jarvis is interesting. He was in last year 92% of snaps, 57% of them out of the slot. Since entering the league, only four receivers have more targets than Landry's 719 targets. A lot of them with Miami, where he started his career. He now has four straight top 20 seasons in fantasy football. But again, it's the Odell factor. And what do you see from him knowing the Odell factor is there?
I see him kind of being a more consistent Sterling Shepard.
Hmm.
Where when you get, you know, Odell being covered, you know,
yeah,
you know, getting double teamed, sometimes even triple teamed, sometimes chipped right there on the line.
Right.
Jarvis Landry's going to be there to catch the ball. And
he's got great hands.
He's got just as good a hands as Odell does.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't accidentally get 719 targets over an abbreviated, yeah. I mean, a 4 or 5 year career. That speaks volumes.
And
quarterbacks
plus,
trust him. Yeah. And he's had a lot of quarterbacks throwing him the football to get that 719 targets.
He's had an entire university's worth of quarterbacks throwing him.
Yeah.
And that's just in the NFL.
No doubt.
I mean, he's going to live in the middle of the field. So for people who understand the game of football and understand what Odell is going to bring, which means Odell, when he runs his go routes and he clears those linebackers and those safeties out of the box, the middle of that field is going to be Jarvis Landry territory. He's going to be open all day long. So just imagine how many targets he's going to have this year in that Cleveland offense. I mean, he's a guy nobody's really talking about because of the Odell factor. Nobody's really talking about Jarvis Landry out there. But I'll tell you what, Jarvis Landry, he could have a magical fantasy season this year under the radar.
I think all you got to do is just look back at any of that LSU game film to see what those two can do.
And
it still holds up. That's all you need to know about Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. in the same receiving core.
All right, guys. This is the Roster Doctors. You can follow us on Twitter at RosterDocsWSBT. And we have made it to the two-minute warning. And this week, guys, it's going to be a fun one. How deep is your love? I'm going to give each one of my boys player.
Do I need to cue up the Bee Gees here?
It would be awesome.
You said the Bee Gees. I was going to answer we were at a Drew Hill concert right now or something.
Here's the premise of this, guys. Players that have stop it, Tony. Players that have different issues, whether it be injuries or otherwise, going into the season, you're going to tell me if you love, like, or hate. Jim, I'll start with you.
All right.
Allen Robinson missed most of the 2017 season with the torn ACL. Mm-hmm. Missed only 3 games in 2018's first season with the Bears. From week 7 on, he was targeted 7 or more times in every game but one. He ended up with his 55 receptions, 754 yards, and 4 touchdowns. But do you like, love, or hate him going into the season, knowing it's year 2 in this offense?
I like him. I don't love him.
Yeah.
Certainly don't hate him because, again, he's a big receiver. He's got good hands.
Yeah.
That's going to be big for Mitchell Trubisky. I think they built up a little bit of trust, too, especially in that playoff game where it seemed like every one of his throws was going to Allen Robinson.
Yeah, he trusts him.
Yeah, he trusts him. I think that plays a big factor. I like him.
All right. We move on to the Godfather. Godfather, your guy is Josh Gordon. 40 catches, 720 yards, 3 touchdowns in 11 games before being suspended again. Now, he has been conditionally reinstated by the league, and he has been working out all offseason with Tom Brady. Like, love, or hate, how deep is your love, Godfather, for Josh Gordon?
I hate Josh Gordon. I don't hate Josh Gordon. The person, I hate the idea of Josh Gordon being able to play for all 16 games. Listen, I hate to say it, but if you look at the history behind any kind of addiction, it's very, very hard, especially when you're in this kind of atmosphere. He needs to have a strong supportive nucleus around him, and I just don't think he has that. So, unfortunately, I'm hating Josh Gordon right now.
He's not on the TB12 plan?
Jim, your next guy is one of your guys.
Okay.
He's Sterling Shepard, 66 receptions, 872 yards, 4 touchdowns, fractured his thumb in training camp. He's going to be ready for week 1, though, but there's no Corey Coleman or Golden Tate for the first few games. What do you expect from a guy that's now going to get double-teamed by everybody, at least the first four games.
Hate. Hate.
Wow, giant hate, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to have a lot of that, by the way, this year, but that's a totally different show altogether. But I don't trust him, you know? I don't trust him to be that number one guy. I can barely trust him to be the number two behind Golden Tate when he finally comes back.
Right.
I'm not a Sterling Shepard fan.
Tony, your next guy is Cooper Kupp, 40 receptions, 720 yards, 6 touchdowns, torn ACL. He's going to be back this year, though, and I already know where I think you're leaning with this, but tell us, Godfather, what do you think about Cooper Kupp?
I love Cooper Kupp. love Cooper Kupp. How's that? I really love what I've seen in training camp from him. I really like the idea going forward. You know, basically in an offense that could be without Todd Gurley from time to time. So it may be more of a pass-first offense than a run-first offense. And McVay will cook that book up. They'll have Brandon Cooks go deep. And Cooper Kupp can do both. Cross the middle. He can run through the seam. He can play on the outside. He can play the Y. He can play the X, play the Z. So he's all over the field. So if he's back and healthy, man, I really love what he can do this year.
I got three guys left. Next for you, Jim, is A.J. Green. Missed pretty much the second half of 2018. He did have 45 receptions, 687 yards, 7 touchdowns. And an ankle is going to keep him out at least the first few games for the Bengals. Like, love or hate?
I hate to say this because I have history with A.J. Green.
Yeah.
As far as my fantasy teams go, A.J. Green has been a consistent performer up until last year.
Yeah.
And now this ankle injury, it's just, he's not going to be that guy this year, which I hate saying. So.
All right, I got two more. For you, their godfather is Sammy Watkins, 40 receptions, 579 yards. I'm sorry, and 3 touchdowns. Sprained his ankle in week 11. Didn't play after that. 71% of snaps and only 7% of the end zone targets. Of course, when you have a guy named Travis Kelce, that takes away from that number. But what do you expect, like, love, or hate for Sammy Watkins, godfather?
I actually like. I don't love. I don't hate. I kind of like it. I only like because he's in an offense where he's going to have to get some kind of play. And we don't really know the mantra of Tyreek Hill. Is Tyreek Hill going to play all 16 games? Is he going to stay out of trouble for 16 games? Is he going to be able to be there? And like you said, yes. Okay, Travis Kelce, you know, but they don't have a running back. They're salt. They don't have Damian Williams. They're really not sure if he can play all 16 games, but Sammy Watkins can get some kind of love out there in Kansas City and some kind of action. So I like Sammy this year.
All right, this is the last guy for the 2-minute warning. Jim, it's Will Fuller, of course, the former Notre Dame product. He had 503 yards, 4 touchdowns, 15.7 yards per catch. He was on the field for 80% of the snaps in the 2018 season. In the 7 games that he played.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, but I want to get your take. I mean, anybody that's opposite of DeAndre Hopkins, especially a guy with Will Fuller speed, availability is key.
Yeah. He is the perfect guy to go opposite DeAndre Hopkins, I think, when he's in there.
Yeah, like love or hate.
Like him when he's in there, hate him when he's out. and again, you almost have to prepare yourself for the being out being the greater amount.
Yeah.
So.
And that winds down our 2-minute warning. And it also winds down the wide receiver preview show of the Roster Doctors. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Roster Docs WSBT. And of course, well, you always be a big thanks to the Godfather. He's doing some great things out in Philly right now. You can follow our Godfather, Tony Cotillo, at TCotillo23 on Twitter as well. And next week, guys, well, we got to start talking actual games. We'll preview some games. We'll preview some players maybe to look for and maybe even a couple sleepers. Sound good?
And once again, go out and sign Giorgio Tavecchio, Atlanta's kicker.
Because he's the kid that's not allowed to come outside to play, but he can play, but he has all the PlayStations. He's got like PlayStation 8 in his house, yep. And so you can come over and play at his house because his dad actually owns Sony.
He's the guy. He's the guy on Reddit that you see with the entertainment system that has the cables, you know, like
tied
to the wall, you know, all circuit-like. He's got the cool setup. He's got every game.
What are we going outside for? We got everything we need in here.
We got everything we're here.
Oh,
Mom's got pizza rolls in the oven right now. What are we going outside for?
For Jim, Tony, and myself, this is the Roster Doctors. We will catch up with you guys again soon. Thanks for listening.